Howdy, guys. Welcome back to Diana Prince Secret Agent. I'm one of your hosts, Ed.
I'm the other, Terry.
We will be talking about Wonder Woman's mod era for those of you that this is your first listening of the show. If you want to get in touch, you can tweet us or blue sky us at Teal Productions. Tooth Gnasher also on Twitter. That is Terry's handle. Teal Productions, I keep an eye on over there. Teal Productions also has a Facebook page. If you want to email us, that's imindyman@gmail.com. And let's see, Tooth Gnasher is with a G for Gnasher. Indyman is I-N-D-I-E is the way that's spelled. And the website is comic book. I should have picked all simpler stuff, but comicbooknoise.com/TNC, Tango November Charlie, if I'm not enunciating enough for you. And we also want to send out a thanks to Universal Production Music for allowing us to use the intro outros for the show. Now, this issue was cover dated March, April 1969. Mike's Amazing World indicates that it was on sale January 2nd. 1969, excuse me. And it was on sale January 2nd, 1969. This certainly doesn't read like a book from 1989.
Yeah.
That's about where we are in Thor. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. So actually, we're doing three different times. We're doing a modern and a 80s for Thor, and then we're all the way back here at the late 60s, early 70s, talking about Wonder Woman. The cover was brought to us by Mike Sikowski, Dick Giordano, and Gaspar Saladino. Nobody wanted to claim colors, which means it was probably either one of those guys or a whole host of people that were assigned it. What strikes you about the cover? Anything?
What really struck me about the cover is this is not in the story.
No. This is very... this reminds me of a scene out of one of James Bond's movies.
Yeah.
It was with... Roger Moore, I think. He had a skiing, shooting the enemies on skis after him and ski jumping over houses and falling through and all this other kind of stuff. But yeah, you're right. It's
this scene never happens in the book.
Mm-mm.
Maybe later, but not in this one.
It is pertinent, though. I mean,
yeah.
It does because...
I mean, it does tell you that they end up in a Swiss-esque, Alpy-looking place.
Right.
With it's, people after them. But there is nowhere in the book that Ching is laying on the ground while Diana is standing over him, defending him.
Oh, they don't have this interaction anywhere.
No.
Somebody does use... We do see an image of a ski pole like this, mm-hmm, in the book.
But the characters that are after them don't have on these funny hats.
Chasing them or the stuff. What were the hats? Are they toques or beanie? Oh, no. They're
jester hats.
Full face mask,
yeah.
Jester hats with the pointy things. And
the,
yeah,
little balls on the end. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know what they told. And who drew this? Mike Sikowski. I don't know what they told him.
I don't know.
To draw. He also did the pencils for the interior, so he knew the story by the end of the story, but he might have done the cover and submitted it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And it's an interesting cover. It would make me want to buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
However, once I got inside the book and read it, I would be like, what did that cover have to do with this?
Nothing. I would think the cover bait and switch is a much more modern kind of thing that they started doing. This was all the way back in 1969. But I don't know that it was purposefully trying to, mm-hmm, to mislead us or anything. Maybe this is something from the script that got cut out of this
Could
issue.
Be.
And like you said, maybe it'll take up from where it left. It wouldn't be immediately next issue, but maybe a little ways into next issue.
Well, they're
we'll
still
have a
in
scene
the
like
Swissy Alpy whatever land at the end of this book, so maybe it happens later.
Yeah, they really haven't gotten to a position in the story where they got into a fight over there yet.
Well, they got left. And
oh no, they were running.
Yeah,
that's
they were,
right.
And they were using her little,
yeah, okay,
bibs and bobs to blow up things. But
we'll get into that here,
yeah,
in a sec, guys. Okay, so now inside, this is written for us by Denny O'Neill with pencils by Mike Sikowski, inks by Dick Giordano, and letters by John Duffy,
and editing by Jack Miller.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Does it say anything in there about colors?
No.
Colorist? Okay. Yeah, there's nothing listed on the Grand Comics either. For those of you that are looking for this issue, this is issue 181 of the first volume of Wonder Woman. So that would be the first place I would suggest looking, although that might be a little pricier get than maybe some of the other
ones. I got this one for $10.
Yeah. And for those of you, again, that are new to this, we're fortunate enough that these books that we're talking about from Wonder Woman, we have. Terry collects Wonder Woman. So we actually have the book. I am reading from the, and I say that because the comic is open in front of her, and I have the Wonder Woman Diana Prince Celebrating the 60s omnibus in front of me. That's another place where this was reprinted. That came out in 2018. You can also find it in Diana Prince Wonder Woman issue number 1 from 2008. And unfortunately, in a way, because this is still a book in the area that we want to cover, apparently it'll be reprinted again in Wonder Woman 197. So just 16 more months and things will start falling apart enough that they'll start reprinting near the end of this mod era things that they did in the beginning. But I believe before we end our coverage, it gets back into new stuff. I think there was a 3 or 4 month period.
Somebody must have got sick.
I don't know exactly what happened.
Somebody got sick and they're like, just pull out some stock stuff and make it look new.
I think what happens is they found out that their little experiment here didn't go over out there too well. So they nixed it. We'll find out if we decide to cover it or just sum it up. But the ending next generation of Wonder Woman was just as abruptly done as the Wonder Woman into this generation. It was like, oh, we need to stop. They axed everybody. They got new people. And it's almost, today it would have been a new number one.
Mm-hmm.
It was so different. It would have been so, but that's not what they did. Okay, so those are the creatives and reprints for you. Now for the synopsis, this comes to us from DC Fandom site. I Ching hypnotizes Cyber's agent into revealing the location of her mistress's underwater fortress. Before they attack to invade it, Diana goes to Raphael, and it's interesting that that's his name, and we'll get into that, I noticed, when we get to that part. A reformed criminal armorer, and gets several concealed weapons. Cyber is attempting to recruit Trench to her side, but before he can give an answer, Diana and I Ching break into the fortress and join Tim, that's Trench, in a battle against Cyber and her cronies. And I'm just reading this. I Ching is not that dude's name. His name is Ching, and in the broken Chinese that they like to use, everybody, when he introduces himself, he says, I Ching, you know, me, I Ching. And so everybody just says, oh, his name's I Ching. And it's like, no, his name is Ching, which is bad enough.
Diana just calls him Ching.
Yeah. So, Cyber and her gang escape again, with Diana and her friends barely dodging an explosion that destroys the fortress. Later, a clue Tim overheard leads them to the European nation of Bjorland, where they once again discover and battle Cyber and her troops. Cyber dangles a priceless hoard of gems before Tim and offers them to him if he will become her agent and kill Diana and I Ching. In response, the greedy Tim turns and fires his gun. So that actually is relatively decent synopsis, mm-hmm. I thought. It definitely hit all the high points. Okay, so... yeah, I do like the cover. A lot of action in it. Mm-hmm. You see the good guys. You see the bad guys. The good guys are in peril. Diana's face is very pretty, I thought, here on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cherubesque.
Okay.
Is that a word? It's very juvenile. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's very her face is very childlike, I thought.
It's very round.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. On the cover, it's very round. It's not as round inside.
No.
It's more angles in it, like a woman's face does.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I guess inside it had to be faster, but mm-hmm. maybe he was able to take his time, and that's what he came up with for the cover. I don't know. So What's the first thing that jumps out at you here as we're starting here?
I like the way Ching chastises Diana. He is attempting, the woman that they've captured that belongs to Cyber is telling him, you can't get any information out of me because I have been conditioned and hypnotized by her to make sure that I don't tell any secrets. And he's like, oh, well, let's just see. So he takes her back and he is trying to hypnotize her out of her hypnosis from Cyber so that he can get information. And Diana keeps interrupting him and he's like, go away, child. So she does.
Don't be so, this will take time. Yes. Don't be in such a hurry.
Yes.
And she's like, well, I can't just stand around, so I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And she does.
That's why she goes to visit Raphael, who.
Okay. Now, did you notice the way he's written? Could you tell what kind of accent they gave him?
I read it with an Irish or Scottish or something broguey kind of accent.
I think that he is, and in 1969, I think he is of the, what would it be? Would it be the Irish Republican Army, the IRA, a former bomber for them who was caught by Diana and
Steve
Trevor and forced to retire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know off the top of my head if that actually happened in the book. There's no editor's marks here to tell us, as you know, you remember from story, whatever. But yes, so it's an Irishman named Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume that has to be the painter, right? Who is Italian, isn't Raphael?
But that's okay. Maybe he's hiding. Maybe that's his hiding name.
Oh, so that's not his
maybe
Christian
that's his hiding
name. Or his...
I'm more interested in the fact that the secret knock is knock-knock, tappity-tap.
Why? Why can't it be tappity-tap?
It's knock-knock, tappity-tap.
Well, yeah. Knock-knock. I don't know how you have to use two hands to do it.
So if I never need to get in, it's knock-knock, tappity-tap.
I get, okay. That's funny. I read that and it just didn't make an impression on me. But yeah, it's knock, knock. And the whole time they just show one hand. So it's knock, knock. Yeah, I don't know how you get tappity tap.
I don't know.
She goes all Amazon Wonder Woman, but she can't because she doesn't have that power anymore. So,
which she discusses in this book also.
Yeah, it does come up. And I suggest, I bet that it's going to come up every issue because people are picking it up and they remember before and whatever issue, oh, this is the first one they've gotten back to. Well,
what happened?
She's going to have to explain. It's such a major change. It's going to have to explain. Yeah. And who's the guy? Where is, three or four things every issue will have to come up. She gets some hidden gems here as far as weapons from the Raphael.
Because Raphael is using all his spare parts and making jewelry,
which he doesn't do anymore.
Well, he's making jewelry. It just so happens that the spare parts he made the jewelry out of still explode.
I think he had some leftovers is what it is.
What's what he has left? He can't go out and buy more stuff. He doesn't have a job anymore. He was forced to retire.
He's still making
stuff.
So
he's using his leftover stuff, and it just so happens it still explodes.
I have some stuff laying around. Yeah, let's see. And it's pretty cool stuff, I thought.
A grappling hook that's a bracelet.
Explosive
earrings that explode. It's like some really nice stuff.
So she, Diana gets back, and Ching has been successful with his anti-hypnosis. Yeah. Got the information. Not exactly the information. Got a way to get to where Cyber is, but she didn't really tell him where Cyber was. What'd she say here? A combat outfit. What about these boots make that a combat outfit? She's putting on boots to her thigh.
I know.
They're thigh highs.
And she has on a bustier looking kind of thing, and she puts on a cape. I mean, it's very not that what I remember from 60s. It's very outlandish.
Oh, you don't think this fits the time?
No, well, it's a little different.
Well, but they would have had nothing else to go on. Well, I mean, this was drawn in 1969.
So and in this little thing where she's in the background here in this picture where they're going out to the car to go do, she looks very butch in that.
They've
kind of butched her up there a little bit.
Thickened up her body and her shoulders there, that little blocky shoulders. Mm-hmm.
So the woman in her hypnotic trance leads them to the area where she can get them into where the submarines are for cyber, and they do that.
Right,
they get in there, and they get one.
Go to a submarine.
They go to a submarine, and they take off in it.
The submarine, I guess she's like this way.
Mm-hmm. She's driving. She's piloting.
Oh, so, yeah, okay. Is she? Yeah, yes, she is here.
She's
okay.
Piloting.
I know she was waiting for him later, but yeah, she's... So, yeah, it's like... She just told him we need to go over here and get a submarine, and then she's like, "When we get the sub, I got you." And she's
She's still under the hypnosis.
She's driving, and I'm assuming here where they're in the submarine of it. Is there an ad?
Yes,
here
there's
to
an
talk
ad.
About.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about the ads
there's
later.
There's a big spot there in the reprint. Mm. Oh, and let me say, particularly now, I much prefer the original. The colors on these reprints just seem, to me, they're oversaturated. And it just, everything pops, but not in a good way. It's almost distracting. So actually what I did is I'm talking about it here, but I read it from the original because it just is.
And he keeps looking over at my copy.
Yeah, what is it when you want... Coveting, I'm coveting her copy as we're sitting here talking. Yeah, so.
So I miss the fact that this is not Kirby machinery.
Oh no,
I must say.
No,
because we go into Cyber's lair and we see Cyber talking to Timmy, and all the women are working on the machinery, looking through the scopes and stuff, and just looking at stuff.
Yeah,
and I miss
stuff.
The fact that it's not Kirby machinery. It's very plain looking.
It almost looks like her tail.
I know, but it's not. It's a chair.
Yeah, the way the chair is designed.
It's a chair.
When I first saw that, I'm like, are there mutants? No, there are no mutants in DC. They're metas.
And notice Cyber's in a very sexy little outfit.
Well, it's because she is trying to sway.
No, she's already told him twice that she's going to kill him.
But she's trying to sway. She's feeling it out. Maybe she'll get lucky before, because he doesn't want to die. He'll be willing to do anything. So, but also maybe it's testing, because she does sway here, and she does sway again by the end of the issue. So I mean, it's not hard and fast. Normally a dude that got brought in, he'd be killed. But there's something about Trench that that
he says she's
likes.
She says he's almost intelligent, almost.
Oh yeah, almost
intelligent.
Yeah. Probably is intelligent for a man, but they didn't want to go that far to say it. But it's
so her lackey brings her in a message from Bjorland, which is where we end up later in the book.
Yeah,
and Timmy's sitting there. That's why he hears the name Bjorland, and he's like, "Oh, I remember that place."
Dai and Ching
that
break
geezer,
in.
That geezer Ching.
Yeah. And so they set off alarms, of course. We didn't say it, but as they're approaching in the sub, this place is big enough. They describe it as a city.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a Dr. Evil, and you guys can't see it, but I put my pinky up to the corner of my mouth, kind of just lair. This is like, you know, I don't know, Chicago in a dome or whatever they would consider a city. What's her name? Cyber. Leaves and gets the guard to watch Tim, and she's got a submachine gun of the time, very, very era specific. I think it looks like machine guns that I remember seeing either the Germans or more special troops of the American Army use in World War II. It's not the... A lot of other people have heard of the Thompson submachine gun. That's what, like, the gangsters with the big round clip. This is a thin muzzled with the clip that jams in from the side. And so they'll hold it, and actually they'll hold onto the clip a lot of times, too, in the movies or TV. So it's one of those. You probably would have seen this on maybe the Avengers TV show from back there with the British Avengers. Or Man from U.N.C.L.E. with my all-time favorite character name, Ilya Kuryakin. Mm-hmm. I like that name. Who went on to become a pathologist working for NCIS, mm-hmm. For those of you that know that show. So, Tim, and he gets rather condescending here.
I'm getting on the feminist bandwagon.
You saw
here,
that, okay.
And saying that I don't appreciate the fact that they distract the woman with notions of a mouse nibbling on her heel.
She almost eeks.
I'm telling you.
But it's what he says. What does he say here? Never yet saw a chick who wouldn't be dumb if you give her a chance.
I know.
Wow.
I'm telling you. Tim, male chauvinist pig.
Mm.
Male chauvinist pig.
Pretty harshly. But he distracts her, knocks her out, gets her submachine gun. And joins, because by this point they can hear the scuffle that Diana and Ching are doing is close enough to wherever he is that he can hear it. So he knows where to go. He joins up with them.
Because he decides that he best be on their side, since the woman's already said she was going to kill him. Since Cyber says, I'm going to kill you. He's like, well, I think I'll just go be on Ching and Diana's side.
Seems fair. I mean, You got a chance there. You know how it's going to end on the other side.
Yeah.
So you got a different chance on mm-hmm. Diana and Ching's side. And I don't know. You know, there's just some fighty here.
But Diana tells him not to kill anybody. To be sure that when he's using the gun, not to kill anybody.
Well, that's her Wonder Woman thing, is okay. that they don't have to kill people. Plus, she's, you know, at this time, she's kind of a protege of Batman, and that's kind of, and of Superman being JLA. So, in the gunfight, there's some damage, and so there to the structure. So there ends up being a oxygen issue that causes all the bad guys to scatter and leave the already sunk ship. And of course, it's a pretty standard, when you're somewhere that you need oxygen, something happens, the bad guys leave, but they leave the good guys in a position where not having oxygen is going to affect them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Either it'll keep them from doing something, or they're trapped and time will run out or something. But Cyber even does double duty here and says, oh, yeah, by the way, while you're trying to figure out about this oxygen thing, I got a nuke.
And you got 15 minutes.
A nuke.
And I guess you have 15 minutes because you have to arm it and then get away. So you give yourself 15 minutes to get away.
Right, yeah.
It's back before they have remote control where you can, like...
Just do it from wherever.
Do it from wherever you're at. You have to arm it first.
It's much more exciting because you know how much time you have. And so it gets more intense. Really, I was thinking...
Oh. Okay.
Same thing, though. Cyber leaves, and so Ching and Diana and Tim have to do something, and this is the first place. Diana uses one of her earrings, and it is a gelignite grenade. G-E-L-I-G-N-I-T-E.
It ignites with gel. Gelignite.
Yeah, have you? No. I'm not familiar
I'm
with
just
that.
Guessing.
Yeah. Well,
that its ignition is some kind of gel.
Go ahead and vamp or something for a minute.
Okay.
Let me look this up.
So they're talking about, we don't know how we're going to get out of here. And Diana's like, well, I think I might have something. And they're like, how's an earring going to help us? And she pulls it out and clicks it, smashes it, and then throws it. A high explosive made from a gel, I told you.
It's a real thing. I thought it was just a made-up thing. It sounds made up.
It's a real thing. I told you it had a gel involved.
Made from a gel of nitroglycerin and nitrocellulose in a base of wood pulp and sodium or potassium nitrate, used particularly for rock blasting.
And she does blast the door
gel
open.
Gelignite.
And they have 6 minutes. When they finally get out of the room, they have 6 minutes because Tim points to the timer. That's and says, we have six
Oh, yeah,
minutes.
You're right. I didn't even notice that. So mm-hmm. they've already used up nine mm-hmm. in one page.
Mm-hmm.
That's all mm-hmm. it is, one page and a couple panels. So
Ching tells him, let's go to Airlock 3, and Timmy's like, why?
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 Why, that
why are we going to Airlock 3?
Particular
like,
airlock.
Well, he gave the woman that they captured a hypnotic suggestion that she should be there waiting.
When did he do that?
They didn't tell us until just now.
When did he do that?
They didn't tell us until just now.
But I'm asking, when did he do that?
And so since she is waiting, so it worked. Okay.
In I guess the same little sub that they mm-hmm. took to get there. Mm-hmm. So basically, yeah, he was somewhere along the way. He's like, oh, just wait here for us. We'll be back. Mm-hmm. And then they took off. Mm-hmm. Okay. The first images, really, of her working boutique, I
yes.
think. I don't think they have been in it because she was in their training. We talked mm-hmm. about that one of the past episodes. But here you see displays. She's talking to a couple. The dude is looking kind of rough. And selling. She's doing her salesmanship there and everything. So first true appearance of Diana's working boutique.
The Maudley Modern Boutique.
There you go.
So. The Maudley Modern Boutique.
Yeah, Dashley Maudley
yes.
Modern. So so then we all this while that she is doing this, Tim is over here on a phone, you know, I guess over by the register, trying to work up some of his sources.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is this what
yes.
he's doing?
Yeah. To see if he can get a clue of where Cyborg is.
Right. And nothing.
Cyber, not Cyborg. Cyber.
Cyborg. Both of them.
Okay.
No.
Whatever.
Yeah. Nothing. He came up with Zip and Diana's decorating. She said, I got some other things here. Let's take a look at these while we're here. I'll go ahead and put some of these up, kind of poster kind of things or something. And one of them says, visit Bjorlund. And there is the trigger for Tim.
So why in the world would there be a poster to visit Bjorlund? And spoiler alert, when Bjorlund is merely a cyber city.
A cover for them.
There's nothing but cyber there.
Unless part of what they have to do is bring regular people in to hide in among them. Because if nobody ever came and went, it would arouse someone's suspicion.
Unless
somewhere.
Maybe it was a town and she took it over and got rid of all the people who
before
lived
this,
there.
And mm-hmm. and there were could be, and maybe that's what the
yeah.
maybe that's what the good news was about, was that her takeover of Bjorlund was complete, and so that was the news she got. But so Tim, of course, he's like, hey, they were talking about that. Yeah, there's some, you know, we need to go there. And it's like, okay.
So they get on a plane and they go.
Right.
And once again, she's in a big red cape. I just love the way they dress her. So they get there. They decide to stay in a hotel to get some rest before they start out the next morning. And this is where Diana cannot sleep. She thinks of Tim and she's like, I wonder if being human means you're fickle. Because all of a sudden she's attracted to Tim.
Well, I mean, she's just lonely.
Hmm.
That's all.
Hmm.
8 a.m. the next morning, they go out into the bustling village. Those are their words, bustling mm-hmm. village. And, you know, several panels here of them walking around. They're talking, trying to figure out what they're going to do. Ching is with them. So it's Tim and Ching and Diana walking around. And suddenly, in the midst of their conversation, Ching cuts them off and says, hey, you guys notice what's off here? And they're looking around and they're like, no. And then suddenly Tim's like, all I hear are adults. I don't hear any kids, which is, yeah, some kind of vacation-y kind of thing like that. Somebody would have brought their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he sees a town's dude standing over here and he basically says, well, you know, I'm going to go over here and shake this dude down, which is what he does, and try to get the information. A real brusque and aggressive, and the guy, it's kind of what you would expect, but I like the panel here. You see Tim's fist holding the guy by the scruff of his shirt coat or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and he's kind of disheveled, and he's thrown him up against a wall behind him, and the guy's, I don't know if it was meant to be a smirk, but to me it kind of comes across as a smirk, and he points over his shoulder and he says, answer is behind you, American. And this is the scene I was referring to with the ski pole, mm-hmm. the work end of it being pointed at Tim. And you see the other end is being held by
Cyber.
Is that Cyber herself?
I do believe.
No.
No.
Let's see.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe it's some.
See here is Cyber. She's in this next page. Red coat, purple top, green. Riding pants, or is it this page for you?
I don't see red coat, purple pants.
Okay, next page, because we got a full page ad here.
Yes.
Yeah, see, so...
That's an underling.
Although it could have been her. That would have been funny if she was just wandering around, too, amongst her people. But some woman with the ski pole, and that means that it's time to fighty-fight.
Yes.
And so we have some action scenes, that Diana kicking, Diana saving Tim, Ching kicking, and then they're like, okay, there's too many people, we got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. We got to. What would the kids say? Beat feet.
Beat feet.
Back then. I don't know if they said it back then.
So they went to the rooftop, and they got up there, and they asked Diane, do you have any more of those explosive earrings or anything? And she's like, buttons. I've got a button here. She pulls a button off.
And so what does she do? Just blows up a building?
Yes.
Just blows up a building to block the alley that they were running through.
Yes.
It's
Cybertown. Who cares? Of course, she didn't want anybody killed earlier, but now she's like, just blow up a building.
I don't know who's in it. I don't know what. I don't even know if the building will take it. Maybe it'll just destroy the whole building. So.
And they keep running, and she blows up another building.
To block the other end of the alley.
To block the other end
of
the alley.
Once they get through it, they block the other. It's not like they block both ends. Because at first I thought, well, if you block both ends, you're trapped in. No. They cut off one end, ran through the alley, and then cut off the opening at that end. They're outside, you know, somewhere in the village now. What was it? You didn't think this was
I was reading. No, I thought it was excellent. I was reading, and it has chup, 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 and I'm like, that's a helicopter. Where's the helicopter coming up in the story?
Okay.
And there's one on the rooftop.
Right,
it's like everybody has a helicopter on their rooftop, I guess.
And this is Cyber.
Yes.
I guess they had gotten word, her people had gotten word that they were running around blowing up buildings. And so she comes in from wherever in a chopper. And she's like, okay, we gotta, you can't blow up my village, okay?
So, this is where she pulls out the loot, the jewels.
Yeah, she pulls out a little jewelry box, or whatever you want to call that, treasure box of gems, and they're not. Sikowski didn't spend a whole lot of time on gems.
No,
basically, they're squares and circles, and they're colored differently.
And they look like glass to me.
Yeah, really.
But, you know,
they look fake.
They look fake as they can be.
Yeah. Theater, not theater jewelry. What's that called?
Costume
jewelry.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what. So she's trying to ply Tim to trade sides with all the jewels. And at first, I thought it was going to hypnotize him the way this panel looks here. But then, like the synopsis said, she says, "Okay, this is what you get if you do what I say, and what I say is kill them." And you've got. Essentially, you've got four panels here to end this story. You've got her telling Tim to kill Ching and Diana. Diana saying, Tim, you wouldn't. So Diana, Ching, and Tim, all their faces are in this panel. Then the next panel, we are looking at Tim with his pistol drawn. And then the next panel, you see blam, blam with smoke and
In Tim's eyes.
The ignition lighting up his face and everything. And then it says next ? Now, the synopsis said he turns, and I don't think...
We don't see turning in this picture.
I don't think this signifies that he turns.
No.
Now, that's what they want you to think, because he's over here and he is in between, you know, to where he can turn and look at Cyber and he can turn and look at Diane and Ching. So he turns to kill them if that's what he was going to do. But I don't believe that's what he does. We never see him change position.
No, but we'll see. We don't know.
I think he shoots Cyber. Come on, this is Tim.
I don't know.
She's got a thing for she just lost one man she had a thing for.
I'm telling you, he was getting on the plane, said, if these people get in my way, I'm going to ditch them.
Well, yeah, no, that's...
He has no love lost for Dai and Ching.
That's true.
Grandpa, as he calls him.
He does seem to be pretty... flighty
yes.
or whatever
yes.
whatever you want to call that. Okay, now let's go all the way back to the beginning and let's see what we've got here. First one, what's the first one?
It's Enter the Rebel Invisible Sweepstakes.
Oh, on the inside front cover.
Yes.
I believe that's pronounced Revell.
Revell?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's the...
And or win a Concord videotape recorder system or a Honda 90 or one of 2,000 26,000 prizes.
That's cool. A lot of prizes. 26,000? Yeah.
26,000 prizes. Enter to win.
Wow. Yeah, that's a dude.
That's a full page on the inside page.
Yeah, on the inside.
And then we move over to our first break.
What is there a page number?
No, there's no page numbers. Sorry.
Here and okay.
And we have another Revell.
Right, it's a half page or a third page.
It's a crazy horse 69 Mustang model.
Which
that you can purchase.
This is what I know Revell for is plastic models.
$2. And you can get this puppy for $2.
It's a 69 Mustang, too.
I know. That's what I said.
It's the January model of the month for 1969 also. So.
And then the next page is a full page, and it's the Greyhound bus route to your postage stamp train laid out.
This would have got me.
This would have got me psyched, too. 28 different locomotion cars. 16 complete sets, tracks, switches, relays, dozens of buildings, bridges, and tunnels, and now a complete bus system.
Well, but what's the big thing? It's a mini railroad.
Yeah, it's the postage.
So, yeah, so you could do that like on this
on
table,
that table
we're
on the
sitting
table
at.
We are sitting at. Yeah, yes. You could have the whole village.
This whole town with the train, of course, but now with a bus route.
Mm-hmm.
That is very cool. Postage stamp. The Aurora postage stamp bus system, which I think I know Aurora for being models also.
I don't know.
Much like Revell.
They don't tell you how much that costs.
Maybe, let's see, maybe Aurora did the monster models. I remember models from Aurora, but I don't remember them being vehicles. That's what I remember Revell being, so... Okay.
Then a couple pages later, we have a full page of a comic book looking story about Lee Jeans, Lee Ryder and the brand Rustlers. And they're talking, that's the cowboy, and he's got his Lees on, and he looks like a real cowboy, blah, blah, blah. And the tagline is, boys wear the Western pants that real cowboys wear. Lee Ryders, they're tough. They're cut right. They have the genuine Lee brand on every pair. Now, growing up, Lee were the cheap ones.
Oh, were they cheap?
That you bought at Hills.
Oh, okay.
Levi was the expensive ones.
Oh, those were the expensive ones. Okay.
Lee were the cheap ones.
Okay.
And people made fun of you if you wore Lee jeans because it meant you were poor, which I was. And then we go several pages in and we have The New Metal Men is Coming. Watch for it.
And that's all. It's just
a little tiny thing.
Text.
But then the bookkeeper in me,
yes.
The newspaper bookkeeper in me,
yes.
Is very interested in the statement of ownership that is here in this book. And it tells us...
This goes out to you, Professor Allen, if you're listening. I know you always are pointing these out in the books that you read online when you see these. So we're doing this for you.
So I was when I got to this page, I was like, "What statement of ownership?" They produced 302,000. I'll get it out right.
There you go.
302. I only work with numbers all
right.
day. My head is
exactly.
Full.
It's not
302,000 in a 12-month period, with 166,000 of them paid circulation of dealers and newsstands. 365 as mail subscriptions, with a total of 166,365 sold. They gave away 386 and then left to rot, according to this, 139,249 books.
Yeah, and it's listed as office use, leftover, unaccounted, spoiled after printing. So those could be shipping damage. They could be misprints. Some of them are going to be file copies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are going to be the copies they send creators.
Some of them are going to be returns. Because if they send out these books
true.
And 166,000 of them are sold at the bookstores or on newsstands, then they get to return what they don't sell. So that the returns are part of that number also.
And this is also a famous scam that the places would do, is that all you had to do to get credit was return the cover. So they would tear the covers off of what didn't sell, send the covers in, and then they would sell a dime a piece, the coverless books, and you know, in a box over there, you just get them. So that was, that is very talked about by people my age and very well known at this point in history. That so many of these new
stands. That's why when you're at the cons and you go to the boxes that are cheap, there's a lot that don't have covers.
Some
on
of them will be coverless, because they're of those books rather than books people bought and then they've sold or whatever,
And then the next page is a full page of, well, it's half a page of the free loot things where you can send in and buy the pepper gum and the tiny radios and the surprise stuff. Package. And now, then the next half of the page is about Tomahawk.
Yes, issue 121 is what they have here. Tomahawk. Also a battle blockbuster. Aim your cannons at me.
That's about Tomahawk, isn't it?
A battle. I don't know. I don't know if a battle.
This is about Tomahawk here.
Yeah, both of these are because his name is there.
Tomahawk here.
I don't know if this aim your cannon. It could be.
But it's on sale for $2.
Something I noticed about the ads, these multi-ad pages. Mm-hmm. I like the way that Marvel does them better than the way DC does.
Okay.
Because they make them smaller. They have places where you can get back issues and stuff like that. Whereas I've noticed at this time, DC seemed to be a lot more
toy
gimmicky kind of
toys and their own books.
Yeah.
So the next page, lots of ads, lots of commercials, is the Paddy Wagon, the newest and grooviest fun machine in the monogram exciting red and drag model series. So you can buy this for $2.
Another,
it's a model. It's a police car.
Model company that I remember is Monogram. Yeah.
And then they're advertising their Do You Dare Enter the House of Mystery book. All this for only 12 cents.
Yeah, so this goes out to Billy. The House of Mystery issue 179 is what they're doing here. And Kane? Is that the guy, Billy, that was overlooking the House of Mystery, or was it Abel? Which I think it was Kane. Whichever one it is, he's in this ad too for this.
Then several pages in, we actually get some story. And then we have the Zeroids are here. From the Planet Zero, the Incredible Automations from Outer Space. And this is a new toy. And it also has different
accessories
that you can get. I mean, he pulls along a hauling...
some kind of cart thing.
Yeah, cart. I couldn't think of the word. But anyway, they're by a deal. So you can get all of those. There's like three here in wrap that you see.
I don't think I ever remember seeing
these. Me neither.
These.
Ever.
I mean,
I have two brothers, so you would have thought I would have.
Yeah, this is a lot of accessories, a lot of cool accessories. You would want to get some of these if you got the robot.
Then several pages over, we have some more story. We have 238 magic tricks revealed, nothing extra to buy, only 75 cents postpaid.
75 cents for 238 magic
tricks? Yes.
That's cool. Not bad.
And then the other half of that page is 116 planes, only $1.75.
Yeah, now I remember seeing little planes like this. And you got a pilot's training chart so that you could recognize them either from the bottom, the top, or in silhouette. There's an example of the poster here. But I remember once upon a time back during World War II, there were civilian people who did drills to recognize planes from the ground, looking at the bottom of the plane, to recognize what planes were in the area and coming and stuff like that.
And then several pages later, we have a little third page right underneath. It's the end where we have the next issue question mark right underneath that to fill out the page. We have the new Matchbox models of the month, and it's number 73, the Mercury Commuter, and number 33, the Lamborghini Mor. And they're only 55 cents a piece. That's cool.
You know, are these the little Matchbox cars, you think? For 55 cents? That seems a little
pricey
to me.
Because we can get Hot Wheels now for a buck. at just about any toy store around.
Yeah, that's, if they're just the little die-cast cars, that's, yeah, that's pretty pricey.
It must have been the...
With the big models being $2.
I know.
That's, wow.
Well, these are metal. The big models are plastic.
Well, but still, I mean, you're...
Yeah, these are metal, though.
Yeah, okay.
And then we have our letters to the editor, and I read them, and they were stupid, so I'm not even going to talk about them anymore.
Well, no, there's a couple things to point out.
Okay, fine.
One letter is from Mark Evanier. Long in the Tooth comic book folks will recognize that name. And another letter is from Mark Grunewald.
I thought it was Evanier. Is it Evanier?
Evanier, okay. I believe is how he pronounces it.
Okay.
Mark Grunewald. So a lot of you guys out there and ladies will recognize that name as well.
I don't, but that's okay.
Well, Mark Grunewald is a very well-known, for me, Marvel writer.
Okay.
Mark Evanier, you know that name.
I thought it was Evanier, but yeah, okay. If it's the same person,
yeah,
then,
it is.
Okay.
That's the same dude. He's done
some Gru and
all kinds of stuff, but he has always, I think, just like Stan Sakai has always lettered Sergio's Gru, I think Evanier has always helped write them, whether he does plotting or dialogue or something like that. But I think he's always helped Sergio with that. Maybe not always. I don't know if it was from the very beginning, like the Pacific Comics stuff, but very early on, and now continues. When we went to Heroes, it was Stan, it was Sergio, and it was Evanier that we saw all sitting there together. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and they're just, yeah. I meant to look up 1969 if one or both of these guys were comic book creating yet. And I believe Evanier might have been, but I don't know if Grunewald was or not. So yeah, a couple rather big names in the letters page.
Next page is a Supergirl, full page Supergirl ad for the Giant Action Comics Supergirl, 25 cents. Ooh, that's an expensive one. Guest starring the whole Superman family on sale January 7th.
Well, it's a giant.
It's a giant issue.
I guess it's 56 or 64 pages, so that'd be worth 25 cents. I would kill to get comic books that big for 25 cents. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So for a quarter. Mm-hmm. Or 2 bits. Mm-hmm. Is that what 2 bits is? Mm-hmm. 25 cents? Okay.
But then on the next page, you can get 204 Revolutionary War soldiers for only $1.98.
This is my stuff.
You get 39 cavalrymen, 12 shooting infantrymen, 12 marching, 12 crouching, 12 fifers, 12 charging, 12 sharpshooters, 12 field cannons, 12 cannon leaders, 12 drummers, 12 minutemen, 24 Mohawk Indians, because you have to have something to fight.
They're the bad guys, yes.
12 officers and 12 messing troops.
Hessian troops. Which are bad guys also.
Yes.
The Dragoons...
are on horseback, aren't they?
Yeah. This says Revolutionary War, but yeah, I guess... I think all the soldiers in... different positions. I think those are your good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the Dragoons and the Indians and the Hessians would be bad guys.
Mm-hmm. All of these appear the bad guys.
The Fifers, I think they were the bad guys because you know how in the Revolutionary War, the British were known for playing their music as they marched and whatever.
But you got all that for $1.98.
Yeah. Now...
And if you aren't satisfied, you can return them.
For me, particularly... I went for these kind of things for the World War II guys.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, probably about 15 years ago, I bought a whole slew of those cheap somewhere just to have some because I am a nostalgic fool like that. I have since gotten rid of them, but yeah.
And the next is the cover or the back.
Right, the inside back
cover. Famous name prizes or cash from Olympic. Free sales kits. You send them in some money and you sell this stuff for them and they give you points and prizes for selling.
What was the newspaper that you used to be able to sell to do this also? More recently than this, there was a country-ish, all-American-ish kind of newspaper that just had.
I don't know what you speak. And then the back page in full color is the same thing. Get money, get prizes with fast-selling American seeds. And you sell the little packets of seeds, and you get points and prizes, and it has a whole array of things around here that you get.
Right, all your prizes you can choose from.
All your different prizes you can choose from.
It's probably a all these and more kind of situation.
Yes.
And there's even some real...
Yes, real live people that tell. I sell American seeds every year.
Yep. Joel and Mary and William. Mm-hmm. And they're all very wholesome looking youngsters.
Yes, they are.
So you know it's legit because...
So, you know, I complained about the number of ad pages in the new books. I think there's just as many in this book.
Well...
I don't remember there being this many ads in the last one we did. There could have been.
I think there were. It's 32 pages and like 24 or 5 pages of comic. And then all the rest of the space to fill out those 32 pages. Now, the 32 pages counts the front and back cover also. So this is one. So 1, 2, 3, 4, I think, are the cover pages, inside, outside. So there's 28 pages with 23 or 24 being comic and then the rest. And then you've got the cover, inside, back cover. So you're actually sitting there counting this?
No, I'm not.
To see if I'm right.
No, it's not what I'm doing.
I know I'm right in 32 pages.
Okay.
I'm.
That's just a lot of ads.
Well, they just didn't interest you is what it is. I think you kind of enjoyed this one, the story. More so than like maybe the first issue, which was kind of iffy that it even belonged in the story because it was. But as we're going into this, as much... as they can be enjoyed, I am enjoying them more as I'm going on. I'm fully aware of the issues and the things that come up and stuff. And, you know, and the way I think about stuff like that is, you know, look, I'm not wanting to marry the writer. I'm not wanting the writer to marry my mother. I'm just reading a comic book. So, you know, and unfortunately, they're not standing out in doing these things. Everybody at the time was writing the books at this time. So it was a pervasive philosophy concerning things like the way that Tim was talking about the females. The fact that the Oriental dude is colored horribly.
Yes, he is.
And it goes by the name I Ching. And he talks cut, stuttering, which not even the Irishman did that. Although they tried to do some sort of brogue with him. It's just they're tropes that even now will occur. Nowhere near as frequently. It's not cool. But at times to try to get across the fact that this character, whoever they may be, is not a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant person, they'll do something with the speech. You know, I mean, that's if you can't tell because they've not colored it correctly, that's the only way you're going to be able to tell, really. So they have to differentiate somehow. So, okay. So next issue may be a Justice League issue. I need to look and see how in depth it deals with Diana. I don't think it's very much. If not, it will be Wonder Woman Volume 1, Issue 182 will be the next book we look at. You going to say something?
No.
Okay. All right. Had a good talk. I like this one. All righty, guys. We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.